This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from clandestine cures to catastrophic commands. And today, we're covering two types of clerics, the Tempest and the Light Domains.
Prepare yourselves.
Hey, Brian.
Another intro in the bank, William.
We did it. Another intro. Our 203rd intro or some shit like that.
Yeah, man.
And we're talking about some subclasses today.
Yeah, cleric subclasses.
Cleric subclasses. And I'm excited. We both built characters.
We did.
You took the Tempest domain. I took the Light domain.
Right.
And let's talk about some clerics and then dive into the domains and then talk about our characters.
Let us do.
It's time to talk about clerics.
Pray with me.
Which is good, because we don't talk about them enough, if you ask me.
I don't think so.
I think it's easy to get caught up in the flashy classes like paladins, wizards, warlocks, etc. But the cleric is a kick-ass class, and though it is primarily known as a support or healer class, and some would even say the healer class, there is much more going on with these guys. I feel like 5e has done an excellent job with making this class both flexible and diverse. Much like the wizard, the cleric always seems to have something to do, whether it's healing, buffing, doing considerable damage, using utility spells outside of combat for better skill checks, or having slash using knowledge and lore the rest of the party is likely less likely to have access to.
Or calling down the power of God. Indeed. To do apparently whatever.
Yeah, right. I think the cliche cleric is viewed as a pious and peaceful priest, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And I don't know what you've built today, but I would hazard a guess that neither of us went for the white mage pacifist build.
You know, I got closer than I thought I was going
really?
To doing
for
that.
For the Tempest cleric? That's
not,
interesting.
I know, because it's so aggressive.
It is.
But
so is mine, actually, surprisingly.
Well, the class calls for that, the aggressiveness in my subclass anyway.
Mine too.
Yeah, so there it is. There's lots of ways to make a cleric,
do the
good at melee and stuff like that, and like tank the hits and absorb, cleric stuff.
Yeah. So clerics are intermediaries between the mortal world and the distant planes of the gods. As varied as the gods they serve, clerics strive to embody the handiwork of their deities. No ordinary priest, a cleric is imbued with divine magic. Divine magic, as the name suggests, is the power of the gods, flowing from them into the world. Clerics are conduits for that power, manifesting it as miraculous effects. The gods don't grant this power to everyone who seeks it, but only to those chosen to fill a high calling. Harnessing divine magic doesn't rely on study or training. A cleric might learn formulaic prayers and ancient rites, but the ability to cast cleric spells relies on devotion and intuitive sense of a deity's wishes. Clerics combine the helpful magic of healing and inspiring their allies with spells that harm and hinder foes. They can provoke awe and dread, lay curses of plague or poison, and even call down flames from the heavens to consume their enemies. For those evildoers who will benefit most from a mace to the head, clerics depend on their combat training. Oh god, this freaking iPad is freaking out.
Oh no.
Sorry. Clerics depend on their combat training to let them wade in the melee with the power of the gods at their side.
Nice.
So, let's dive into the Tempest Cleric.
Hit dudes, yeah.
All right.
Hit dudes, get god money.
So Tempest Domain. Gods whose portfolios include the Tempest Domain include Talos, Umberly, Kor, Zaboim, the Devourer, Zeus, and Thor.
Thor?
It was Thor.
Yeah, Thor.
It was like Thor hyphen something. I was like, what?
Thor That's hyphen not a Chris Hemsworth.
These deities govern storm, sea, and sky. They include gods of lightning and thunder, gods of earthquakes, some fire gods, and certain gods of violence, physical strength, and courage. In some pantheons, a god of this domain rules over other deities and is known for swift justice delivered by thunderbolts. In the pantheons of seafaring people, gods of this domain are ocean deities and the patrons of sailors. Tempest gods send their clerics to inspire fear in the common folk, either to keep those folk on the path of righteousness or to encourage them to offer sacrifices of propitation. I can't read that word. To ward off divine wrath. Is what it is.
I got it. Context clues.
Gotcha. Tempest domain spells. So if you take the Tempest domain, you're going to get access to these spells, varying levels. You're going to get fog cloud, thunder wave, gust of wind, shatter, call lightning, sleet storm, control water, ice storm, destructive wave, and insect plague. I think one of those spells is not like the others. Maybe it shouldn't be there.
You hear the thunderous boom of bugs.
But there it is. It's there. At level one, you're going to get a bonus proficiency and gain proficiency in martial weapons and heavy armor because you fight.
Yeah. You're in the fray. You're in the combat.
You are usually a war priest of some kind. Wrath of the Storm is a feature you also get at level one. You can thunderously rebuke attackers. When a creature within 5 feet of you that you can see hits you with an attack, you can use your reaction to cause the creature to make a dexterity saving throw.
Right.
The creature takes 2d8 lightning or thunder damage, your choice, on a failed saving throw, and half as much damage on a successful one. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your wisdom modifier, which is probably going to be high because you're a fucking cleric. Mm-hmm. You regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. So it's a nice way to deal a little bit of extra damage, but also to do a little bit of battle control.
Right. You're a cleric. You're not going to take hellish rebuke. You're going to just rebuke with normal god stuff, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. At level two, you gain your channel divinity. This one's called Destructive Wrath. Starting at second level, you can use your channel divinity to wield the power of the storm with unchecked ferocity.
Nice.
When you roll lightning or thunder damage, which is going to be a lot because you're a fucking storm cleric.
All the time.
You can use your channel divinity to deal maximum damage instead of rolling. That's
very powerful.
Very potent.
Because on a spell, like, you do 3d8 maybe. Or,
yeah.
You know, I don't know what the examples are, but now you just did 24. Yes, exactly.
That's awesome. That's really fucking cool.
Better than lots of damage buffs. Like, great weapon fighter rerolling ones. Like, that's one thing. Cool, but this is
max damage guaranteed. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is only the cleric.
And if you crit.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Double max.
Yeah, double max. Yeah. Anyways.
Pretty good.
Yeah. At level 6, you gain Thunderbolt Strike. When you deal lightning damage to a large or smaller creature, you can also push it up to 10 feet away. So I like that, a little bit more tactical control.
Yeah.
At level 8, you gain Divine Strike. You gain the ability to infuse your weapon strikes with divine energy. Once on each of your turns, when you hit a creature with a weapon attack, you can cause the attack to deal an extra 1d8 thunder damage to the target. When you reach 14th level, the extra damage increases to 2d8. And I think that's a nice way of, like, since you are a character who's up in the fray, mm-hmm. a lot of melee characters get an extra attack.
Right.
As a cleric, you don't. But this is a way to give you a little bit of that extra oomph.
Yeah. I mean, there are ways to do... We were talking about it a little bit before the recording, but mm-hmm. there are lots of ways for your cleric to do extra oomph as it is, mm-hmm. just as being a cleric. You get spiritual weapon and stuff like that. But yeah. you're going to be doing oomphy stuff, but, like, this is good because you are tanking, so...
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, at level 17, you gain a feature called Stormborn. At 17th level, you have a flying speed equal to your current walking speed whenever you're not underground or indoors. So you can just fly. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, really cool. A paladin do that, right? Level 20?
Yeah.
They fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you in good with God at the high levels, you fly.
Indeed. There it is. So anything else you want to say about the Tempest domain before we dive into your character?
No, I think I don't know, like, the approach I with this character isn't necessarily, like, so... The inspiration for this character has nothing to do with a Tempest cleric is.
Okay, sure.
I just molded it into this. Like, it could be... really, any cleric could fit, like, this character's build.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do want to jump into it.
Let's do it.
All right, guys. So, today I've built the Tempest cleric that I've called Father Calvin O'Hanlon.
Okay.
This is based off of... So we're going to get into some spoiler territories for a couple stories here.
I find myself ever astounded just how different our characters always are.
I know. Like, we really had... I took... This is pretty much a lift. I took from... So spoilers for Salem's Lot and Dark Tower.
Okay.
So this is... if you guys... Seriously, this is a big, big spoiler territory for those. I don't want to ruin those. But Here I go. So Father Calvin O'Hanlon, and probably with me saying that, you guys probably already know that are familiar, is Father Callahan, Donald Callahan, from those books. So in Salem's Lot is where we first meet this character where he fights a vampire. He gets like a party of schmoes pretty much that don't, there's nobody in, like there's four or five characters that go to fight this vampire, but they're all regular people except for there's a priest who actually has, you know, the power of Christ.
Sure.
But in this case, I'm going to take Thor as the God is really interchangeable. I'm going to be blowing stuff up with thunder stuff.
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to kind of lift that and make this character a vampire hunter the story kind of just calls that he went to go kill a vampire and failed.
Okay.
So I chose, I built a Scourge ASMR. So,
okay.
Or I kind of wanted to go, I thought about going Fallen ASMR also, but I kind of like the
Scourge is the fiery one, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I thought I took Scourge more like he's shamed. So maybe I should have gone Fallen. Well,
the idea of the Scourge ASMR is the wrathful ASMR, the one that is on the warpath.
But this is makes sense for this character that, because the idea is like the same as Salem's Lot, where Father Callahan goes to fight the vampire, fails in the face of faith. His faith fails. He fails his faith, or his faith fails him.
No, both.
He fails to cast aside his cross when called out. Like, I bet you can't defeat me without your holy weapon, you know, priest.
Oh, and that's why he fails.
And he's like, I'm not getting rid of this shit. And then the power of God leaves him
because he had no faith.
And so
that's some bullshit.
I know it's really kind of whack, but it is because he's scared and he doesn't believe hard enough. And that's what's going on. So the vampire comes up and breaks the cross. Uh-huh. And instead of killing Callahan, he tears open his own throat and lets the brackish kind of like yellowy blood that he has coursing through his veins. He forces Callahan to drink it.
Okay.
And it marks Callahan and curses him.
Okay.
And he's forced to wander.
Okay.
And Callahan goes through this journey where he has to just like walk alone. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Like he lives in a daze, and he actually like slips between worlds as he wanders. He becomes lucid in the fabric of reality, kind of. And so I want this character to have a similar arc. Like, he fails at killing this vampire and he's forced to go on this like kind of hazy journey alone and eventually winds up in a town where he kind of comes back to normal, doesn't like claim clerichood, and then comes back to God.
Oh,
and,
nice.
So he claims the power of Zeus or Thor, I think either one.
Sure,
really. This
whatever.
Is like the thunder stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll worship Chris Hemsworth. I don't fucking know.
I like that. That's hilarious.
But the idea is that he's going to start hunting vampires again.
Okay, cool.
And he's going to be trying to like box them the fuck out, but he needs dudes to help him because he can't do it alone.
Okay.
So I built this character as like a very core support player. Mm-hmm. And I took a stat boost. I built a level 10 character. So eventually, maybe in the earlier levels, he loses to this vampire, has to go on this walk of shame, and then slowly comes back to God and starts teaching the people wherever he ends up. And this is where I want him to be scooped up by a party.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably be like, hey, I'll help you, but eventually let's go do my backstory.
Yeah, I got stuff to do.
Yeah. It's one of those characters.
Gotcha. So, that's cool. I like that.
But along the way, if we see vampires, let's fucking kill them or undead stuff, you know? And I'm going to do it with my righteous justice. So I took the durable feat. Pretty much like I took an ability score increase to get the wisdom up. And then I took the durable feat to kind of bump the con to where it needed to be to get a good, nice, good +3 on the bonus.
Nice.
So I landed with a +1 to strength. I think I needed a 13 for my heavy armor.
Okay.
So I wanted to keep that.
I don't think you get proficiency with it if you get proficiency with it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is how it works. So, I'm going to be heavy armoring anyway.
Yeah.
But the dump stat was dex. So I took the -1 to dex.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. But the con's going to be +3, intelligence +0, wisdom +3, charisma +2. Pretty standard.
Yeah.
Paladin stuff. So. Yeah. I wanted to keep that charisma high because Callahan's really charismatic in terms of like actually preaching the word.
Right.
And I think that's where I want this character to kind of start from the bottom up, is like being actually doing cleric stuff and preaching the word of God. I know kind of Tempest Cleric's thing is like, I will smite you in like the face of in the face of your like atheism or something. Like, if you don't do what God say, I beat you. Sure, I hurt you with thunder stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that's part part of it. So there might be clashing in the party.
I find your atheism disturbing. Anyways.
Yeah, that's one way to say it.
Yeah, sure.
Let's see here. It says my the D&D Beyond I built, I didn't put armor on it, I don't think, because my armor class is 9 right now. But the key thing is this durable feat, I think, is what I really want, is to have this guy kind of focus his heals on the party. Okay. And being able to heal himself in, like, a dungeon crawl with long rests.
Okay.
Or, sorry, short rests.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So short rest with durable, you increase your con score by 1, and when you roll a hit die to regain HP, the minimum HP you regain from the roll is 6. So no matter what,
you're healing.
You're going to get a lot of stuff out of your hit die.
Nice. I like that.
So, yeah, that's
nice. Nice little feat combo there.
Perseverance is this character, one of this character's traits. Like, despite the adversity they've faced, they're willing to get back up and try again,
nice.
Especially with good support, much like Callahan when he picks back up. You know, support. You don't see him again in Sam's Lot. He wanders off and that's it. You pick his story back up with this, like, plane shifting, wandering thing in Dark Tower.
Mm.
And so that's where you see him again. And then he becomes a part of the main party.
Oh, wow.
And so he really is their cleric.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got closer to the white mage. He is like their white mage.
Yeah, true.
And he's getting in there with the power of God and shit. Yeah. And he does fight vampires again.
When I say white mage, the thing about white mages is, like, they don't do damage.
Right. They just stand back and heal.
Yeah.
Callahan this is different. My character is different. Callahan from the story, he does stand back and, like, do his cleric shit.
Right.
And I think they give him a gun or a plate. They have, like, sharp plates they throw.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's not really doing all that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just, when you pick him back up, he's preaching the word of God, and that's where I want a party to find my characters. And
I like it.
And then I just really want to lean into the support role with this guy.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much my character, though, is vampire hunting, you know, vengeful, sort of like, you know, I lost my faith once, but I found it again, and I'm stronger than ever now.
I like
it. That's my guy.
Nice. I like it. What was the name again?
Father Calvin O'Hanlon, based off of Donald Callahan.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like it. All right, well, let's take a short rest. We'll come back to the light domain.
Let's do it.
Hey, folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga, a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and Set in Space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
Back.
We've returned.
Indeed we are. And
the power of God. We've returned.
And let's talk about the light domain.
Some God.
Which I think is one of the, like, when I think like classic D&D cleric, I think light and life cleric. Those are like the two, I think.
Yeah, those are the mainstays for sure. Yeah. Like, I really like forge cleric. That's probably my favorite
cool.
one, though.
No, I'm but just saying like classic cliche, I'm thinking either light or life.
Right.
And, you know, I get them a little bit confused here and there. But gods of light, including Helm, Lathander, Foltus, Branchala, the Silver Flame, Belenus, Apollo, and Ra promote the ideals of rebirth and renewal.
Right.
Truth, vigilance, and beauty. Mm-hmm. Often using the symbol of the sun. Some of these gods are portrayed as the sun itself or as a charioteer who guides the sun across the sky. Others are tireless sentinels whose eyes pierce every shadow and see through every deception. Some are deities of beauty and artistry who teach the art that art is a vehicle for the soul's improvement. Clerics of a god of light are enlightened souls infused with radiance and the power of the gods, discerning vision, charged with chasing away lies and burning away darkness.
Cool.
So as a light domain cleric, you get access at various levels to these spells. Burning Hands, Fairy Fire, Flaming Sphere, Scorching Ray, Daylight, Fireball, Guardian of Faith, Wall of Fire, Flame Strike, and Scrying. A lot of burning of the unrighteous.
Yeah, get rid of the impurities with fire. Indeed, holy fire.
Indeed. You get a bonus cantrip at level 1 when you choose this domain at first level. You gain the light cantrip if you don't already know it.
Pretty cool.
Level 1, you get an ability called Warding Flare. Also, you can interpose divine light between yourself and an attacking enemy. When you are attacked by a creature within 30 feet of you that you can see, you can use your reaction to impose disadvantage on the attack roll, causing a light to flare before the attack. It's Solar Flare from Dragon Ball Z. Attacker before it hits or misses. An attacker that can't be blinded or is immune to this feature. An attacker that can't be blinded is immune to this feature. You can use this feature a number of times equal to your Wisdom modifier, which, again, you're a cleric, so it's probably going to be at least 3 times. But, yeah, it's just Solar Flare.
That description. I jump into the sun.
Yeah.
So if you're outside.
Yeah, sure. Channel Divinity. Level 2, you get this. Radiance of the Dawn. Starting at the second level, you can use your Channel Divinity to harness sunlight, banishing darkness, and dealing radiant damage to your foes. As an action, you present your holy symbol, and any magical darkness within 30 feet of you is dispelled. That is very handy. Additionally, each hostile creature within 30 feet of you must make a constitution saving throw. A creature takes radiant damage equal to 2d10 plus your cleric level on a failed saving throw and half as much on a successful one. A creature that has total cover from you is not affected. Improved Flare is a feature you get at level 6. You can use your Warding Flare feature when a creature that you can see within 30 feet of you attacks a creature other than you. So you can Solar Flare not just for yourself, but for others.
That's cool.
Yeah. At level 8, you get Potent Spellcasting. You add your Wisdom modifier to the damage you deal with any cleric cantrip.
Okay.
Which is,
Pretty good.
Pretty simple.
I mean, like,
straightforward.
What are you going to get, like 3 extra damage?
So if you're casting
that, or
Firebolt
2?
By fucking level 8, you might be 4, you know? Firebolt becomes a D10 plus 4.
A lot of people, I see them like, it's only going to reduce or improve the attack by 3 damage or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's like, a lot of times it's like 10% or
that's
15%.
Over and over
like,
and over again,
over time, you're going to really, that matters.
Yeah.
I know we say a little bit of healing goes a long way in 5e,
mm-hmm.
and that goes to
for
the same
well.
For this. Like, if you're going to stack an extra little bit of damage, that's really going to add up.
Yeah. So, your final feature is called Corona of Light. Starting at 17th level, you can use your action to activate an aura of sunlight that lasts for 1 minute or until you dismiss it using another action. You emit bright light in a 60-foot radius, dim light 30 feet beyond that. Your enemies in the bright light have disadvantage on saving throws against any spells that deal fire or radiant damage.
Nice.
So that's very useful.
Yeah.
Again, you get it really high, but it is what it is. Any questions about the light domain cleric?
I want to know about your character.
Okay. So the character I made for this is actually based off a character I made a long time ago that was a Warforged Paladin, but changed a lot for this. Just a similar idea. It's a Warforged Light Cleric. His name is Decimus Ex Virtus.
Okay.
So Decimus the Virtuous, if you will.
Okay.
He's Warforged, so he has advantage against being poisoned. He's immune to disease. I boosted his Wisdom and Constitution primarily. So he's got a 17 Wisdom, 70 Constitution. And then tie for third with a 12 strength and a 12 charisma and a 9 intelligence. So it's not that he is. So my idea for Decimus is not that he is stupid. It's just that he is very naive. And his backstory will kind of explain why.
Okay.
Like, he's still learning a lot about what it means to be a person.
He's been too pious.
No, he's been a mindless robot up until this point.
Oh, okay.
Dexterity 10, so he is what he is. Trained in Arcana, Insight, Intimidation, Investigation, and Religion. He's, in a way, very loosely based off, like, RoboCop or Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, sure.
Trying to see, is there anything? He's got 16 armor class, 59 HP. He has a mace, but he doesn't use it because he uses his fucking laser beams. Before I get into the rest of stuff, let's talk a little bit about Decimus. Decimus, God, my handwriting's so bad. Decimus was a mechanical automaton infused with the divine flame of a god of justice and light. He's crafted to be one of an entire division of objective and dispassionate dispensers of lawful good justice, as defined by the precepts of the religious order that created him. For decades, Decimus patrolled city streets, serving as judge, jury, and executioner in uncontestable authority. And he did so without comprehension for Decimus, like all his brethren, had no free will or true sentience.
Oh.
But as time passed, the divine fire began to awaken in him the stirrings of consciousness. Decimus knew the law from beginning to end, every letter, but now he began to ponder the reason and ethics behind it. And as he did this, the fallibility of the laws of man and even his own holy order became apparent to him. And in a moment that forced him to choose between obedience of authority or his moral philosophy of what is right, the divine flame burned bright within his soul and he betrayed the order that made him. Facing imminent destruction, Decimus fled the city. Now he wanders the world in search of truth and moral justice to find purpose in his philosophy and to rid the world of corruption that hides behind the law. Decimus is honest and straightforward, if a bit curt. He struggles with social and moral nuances, but remains ever confident and earnest in his interactions. He is zealous about the dispensement of justice and the eradication of organized corruption. His respective life has been dramatically altered since gaining his free will, and though he will still kill if necessary, it is always the last resort.
Nice. Okay.
So
some standard cleric stuff in there, but I like what you did with, like, oh, my life is a lie. Oh, yeah. There's lies everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I must snuff the lies from society.
Yeah, pretty much. But also, I like this idea of, like, really exploring, like, what are morals and ethics? Like, what, you know, when we talk about, like, the philosophy of theology, like, and how that affects the way we interact with everyone around us. That's what this character really is an exploration of what it means to be a person.
Yeah.
What it means to try and live a moral life.
Right, because usually, like, a cleric's mantras are, like, very black and white.
Yeah, which his were.
Right, but they're...
Now they're challenged.
Suspect, yeah. So he's looking at... So he still maintains his cleric abilities and stuff?
Yeah, my idea here is that...
Under the same god?
Yeah, my idea here is that the divine flame awakened him for a reason.
Yeah, to fix the issues with... The following.
Exactly, okay. Right.
Because God can have a big following and they could just be fucking it up, right?
Yeah,
but
sure.
But the God still gains power from the following, even if they're not necessarily doing it right.
And also, like...
Or maybe not. Maybe this is a good read into, like, no, you need to... I need to align someone to help correct these things to, like, get my followers to do the shit the right way.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
sure.
That's cool.
Absolutely. And then, for me, I would like to reflavor all his spells as, like, innate energy that he can, like, blast from his hands, from his chest plate. Very Iron Man-esque, with his fire bolts and his solar flares and all this other stuff.
Nice.
I want it, like, it's powered by the divine flame, but it's expressed through the mechanical android body.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's he's a holy robot.
Holy robot.
And I like holy robots. I think they're fun and cool. And this guy would be fun to play because I think it would lead to a lot of funny interactions. You know, he doesn't know how people work.
But I'm kind of picturing, what's that, Will Smith AI? Is that what it is?
iRobot.
I'm picturing the one from iRobot.
Barely remember that movie.
He, like, dreams and shit, and he takes, like, two ballpoint pens in one scene and, like, draws some crazy shit.
Yeah, I could definitely see him having, like, moments like that where, like, he starts having dreams. He doesn't know what the fuck these are, you know?
Yeah, and that robot's like, what is life, though?
Yeah, exactly.
That's fun.
That's how Decimus is.
Fucking iRobot up in here.
Exactly.
I love that
apparently
thing. It's really good. That's a good character concept. I like it a lot.
Thank you. So, I don't know. You have anything else to say about these clerics?
I don't know. Like, We haven't talked about gods too much on the show.
I kept it vague because, you know, it could fit any deity.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I felt about mine. I'm like, I could really just like insert God here.
Yeah.
And then whatever the god's morals and ideals are will affect my character, you know.
Densely. Yeah. I also like I tend to use my own gods or homebrew gods or altered gods anyway. So
yeah. It's like, and like one of the gods for mine was like listed as like Zeus and Thor, which like. That's an easy grab for somebody that's not too familiar with D&D.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I could like really look into the god and like, because when I approached my cleric building, I was like, I don't know if the god is necessarily like as important as a fixture for the, like to pick a specific one.
Right.
And that's how I felt. And you reflected that as well. So there's different approaches. Like you could build clerics based off of like, okay, I need to know the god really well and then build off of that to make my god, like in the likeness of the god.
I was vague enough to be like, okay, so the divine flame, that could be a sun god or just a god of justice and light.
Right.
It could be a god, it whatever fits. And like,
yeah,
whatever world I would bring this character to, I would try to make Decimus fit that world.
Yeah. And my guy is just like trying to, when I say like preach, he's just like kind of being stale and like hanging out in a town and like just converting people, but like being... Not so forceful about it, like the way a storm cleric kind of is depicted to like bring the righteous hand down on those who. That's just kind of like, nah, I've been through a lot, and like, let me just see if people like, I'll put it out there, and preach, and then you know, I imagine him leaving when he leaves with his party to leave a following behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what your guy's running around like. Purifying those who
but also
totally different approach.
Also trying to learn like what is right, like,
even finding out like, the real answers for themselves.
His morality constantly being challenged and him always striving to like do what is right, figure out what is right, and all that
that's
other stuff.
Cool. My guy's like issue was the faith breaking and then coming back and like, you know, hitting it again, like next time I see that vampire I'll cast this shit down and I'll face him with the power of my god and I'll blow him the fuck up with thunder.
Right.
I really want to kill, probably not that same vampire, but
a different one.
Some evil shit. Yeah.
He'll find his moment.
Yeah.
That being said, I think it's time we got ready for a long rest.
Let's do it. Hey everybody. Welcome to the part of the episode where we get ready for bedtime. And when I get ready for bedtime, I smite unholy evil in my room by kicking them with my holy symbol slippies.
Nice.
Yeah, these slippies got like the fucking flames of justice on them.
They do. They really do.
And a lightning bolt on this one.
Yeah,
there you go. I worship two gods.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
They align well.
They
smite evil.
Yes, and they both say in their doctrines to rest 8 hours. Unless you're an elf. So let's talk about... Let's talk about people that give us power, Will.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about our patrons.
Yes, our patrons. Patrons of Gorgon.
Yeah, that.
The Demon Gorgon. He didn't like this episode very much.
No, he didn't. He hated this episode.
He's like, what the fuck you guys doing? if you want to support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thedungeoncast, where we have many bonus contents.
Mm-hmm.
So many, including early episodes of this show.
Indeed.
As we record them. So if you are craving some dungeon casties and you can't wait, go in there and support and find us. There's lots of bonus, tons of bonus content in there, like more than we can feasibly even name in this long rest without getting sad. So let's talk about some people that we owe some shout outs to, Will.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. John Bissell.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Sorry, I said John. God damn it.
What?
Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh Bissell. Sorry for calling you John, my dude. Owen Schroeder.
Thank you, Owen.
Thank you, Owen. Colin Fitzpatrick. Bear, bear, bear,
bear. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Colin. Falcon Neal.
Thank you, Falcon Neal.
That wasn't in the moveset last time I looked at Captain Falcon stuff, but
yeah, I don't know. I heard he got buffed. So
Falcon Neal, and he just gets down on one knee. Jesse Dowd.
Thank you, Jesse.
Trey Petty.
Thank you, Trey.
A Jewish ham.
Thank you, Jewish ham.
No, it's a Jewish ham.
Thank you, a Jewish ham.
There you go. And Buddy Cram.
Thank you, Buddy.
Thanks, Buddy. We appreciate you guys a whole lot.
And so does Demogorgon.
It's true.
So, thanks a lot. If I know we got some exclusive merch
In the Patreon.
We're going to be doing new.
There's going to be merch. New exclusive merch. There's a Electrum tier has a sticker of our Year of the Giant thumbnail. So you guys probably be getting that pretty soon, I think.
Yeah.
And the, what's the one above that? Gold piece. Gold tier gets a, well, this last year it was a What the Grumsh mug. We now have the What the Grumsh
t-shirt
as a t-shirt that Will's been wearing for the past three episodes. Sure. And change your shirt, nasty boy.
So before we record three of these at a time,
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, there will be a new item. We haven't decided what that item is.
We haven't decided what it is. No, we did. We did decide what it is.
What was it?
A hat, I think.
Oh, with that one word?
With that one word.
Okay, I'm into that.
Should we just say it?
Yeah, sure.
We're working on a new Dungeon Cast logo, which I also have to pitch to you because I think we already kind of have one that we can dip into. That looks really good. So
yeah, okay.
I'll talk to you about that after this recording.
Sure.
But we're going to start putting our logo just with our art, just so you... I mean, the shirt says What the Grumsh, and you should all know what the fuck is up if you get it.
Yeah.
But it should probably say Dungeon Cast or something somewhere on it.
Sure.
So we're going to start doing that. But so for the new item.
The new exclusive gold tier item that you get. Gold tier
item that we're announcing unscripted here right now is a hat.
You want me to say the rest?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, I just want to make sure I got this right. Is it the Indeed hat?
It's just going to say Indeed on it.
It's
going to
say Indeed, because apparently I say that a lot. And I think someone has me counted at like 10,000 plus times. Some fucking crazy amount. Like some obscene amount.
It can't be 10,000.
Indeed. Indeed.
Did Veloxy just sit there with like a counter?
And she had a counter, and I'm sure she can leave in the comments how many it actually was.
Legendary listener, Discord mod, podcast historian, Super Quest
Wikipedia
Saga
curator.
Yeah, Wikipedia curator, user Veloxity, and by association, all the other Discord mods like Kev Cole and Takanso and all them there.
Anyways, get your Indeed hat.
Yeah,
anyway. On Patreon. It'll be the 2021 exclusive item. And
I don't know the way we're doing the Patreon merch these days. You have to be a subscriber for a certain amount of time, I think, the way, because now we're getting, we used to just like ship it out ourselves, but now Patreon offers
does it
that
for us. Yeah,
so we're just using whatever rules they have. So when you go to get your merch, make sure you're following like the reading the fine print on that and make sure you guys know what's going on, because I have an idea of what it is.
Also, it's going to ask your address, which they need if you want your item.
Yeah, they're going to ship it to you. We don't really see that anymore. Yeah, so yeah. If you are interested in this item, which I am, I want one. It's pretty choice. That's going to be in the gold tier. I don't think we have plans on changing the Electrum tier specific merch item right now because we just got it. So.
You mean the sticker?
Yeah, the sticker.
Well, we'll probably change when we change years, no?
Yeah, I don't even think it's shipped yet, to people. Yeah. But it's about to.
Right.
By the time this episode airs, I think it will have kicked in for most people.
Right.
If you're in there, I don't know how what I'm concerned about right now is the switch over from the What the Grumsh.
Yeah, it's
to
probably
the hat.
Be not clean, but I don't think there's anything we can do about it.
I don't think so either, because we're gonna change the item, but then I think it kicks in after a couple of months, and then the new item. Because normally we'll start sending stuff out in October when we make the switch, but now it's not probably gonna get to you in January.
Yeah,
was what I'm thinking might happen, or December or something like that, depending on when we make the change.
Right. Yeah. The cutoff to get the Grumsh, for what you're basically saying, is the cutoff to get the Grumsh mug.
Yeah.
Probably it really is October.
Like, yeah. If you want the What the Grumsh
if
mug,
if you
like,
sign up by November. By the time your item gets to you, it's going to be the
Indeed hat. So if you want a What the Grumsh mug,
you got to get in now.
You got to go in now, October. Yeah. You really should, like, this is probably your last, you hearing this.
We're not making this item again. The point is they are exclusive for a reason.
Yeah, we're not going to put a What the Grumsh mug in the shop at all.
Ever.
This is not going to happen.
No.
The shirt, the art will be around probably, but the mug.
But the item itself will always be exclusive.
Right. So the Indeed hat will be available probably. You'll see that in there, but it'll be January.
Yeah, January they'll be getting shipped probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you sign up for that tier in October, mid-October or later, you're going to get an Indeed hat most likely. So
probably, yeah. All right. So that's
pretty much it. You can check out our merch store if you want to support us in other ways.
Or teespring.com.
You can leave. There's a link in the description below. There's a lot of cool stuff in those links. Our contest.
Oh god, our contest.
Strahd,
yeah.
Revamped.
Strahd, revamped.
Ready to kick your ass again.
It's true.
Did you play Strahd before? Play it again. Get your ass back to Barovia and kill Strahd, damn it. Before he takes us all into his vampiric gaze.
Yeah,
or something.
Sure. That.
You know what it is.
So we're giving away two, and the way you enter the contest is on Twitter. Go ahead and share a link to an episode of any of our shows whatsoever. With the hashtag DungeonCast, that'll enter you in the show. If you want to share our show on a different social media platform, go ahead and send us proof of that with a screenshot.
Yeah, you can do that. We haven't said this, but you can do that at thedungeoncast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And exactly. You can also just reach out to us there for whatever.
Yeah, or DM me on Twitter or whatever. Yeah. However way you can get to us. On Discord, that's another way, I suppose.
Right.
But and then Instagram has its own rules, but we're giving away these prizes on Halloween night.
That's
but
right.
Tell them how to enter on Instagram, Brian.
On Instagram, you find me at the Dungeon Cast. There's going to be a post about the revamped Strahd coffin box looking shit. It's got a bunch of cool stuff in there. A Turok deck, all that shit. You're going to want it. You're going to get it by tagging your friends in comments. Leave a comment, tag one person, like the photo, follow the account. That gets you an entry. All you got to do after that is tag more people in separate comments, and that will get you an additional entry for each comment you leave. Don't tag Nike.
Yeah, don't.
Or stuff like Nike. Tag your friends. That's the whole point, is we want to spread the word about the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for everybody. The Rime of the Frostmaiden thing is over. It's been over.
We'll announce the winner as soon as we know.
Probably next episode. Yeah, you'll hear that announcement. Yeah.
So you can call it a game.
That's going to do it.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.